Welcome to the Humble Hoof Podcast. My name is Alicia Harlov. This is a podcast for both horse owners and hoof care professionals, offering discussions into various philosophies on the health of the hoof and soundness of your horse. Please check us out on Facebook or at thehumblehoof.com. A few weeks ago, we had Dr. Holly Helbig on the podcast to talk about biosecurity. And during that time, I realized that there were so many other topics that I wanted to talk to her about. And something that I want to explore more, which I haven't really looked into, is regenerative medicine and regenerative medicine devices. So Dr. Helbig and I chatted again to kind of pour into what options there are for horses and when these devices might be used and what kind of feedback you might see from the horse and the horse owner when these options are chosen. So I'll be honest, as a hoof care provider, like I do see a lot of lame horses, unfortunately, because, you know, you get called into cases where horses are struggling and they want to see if there's something you can do to help. And I, you know, basically I tell people, fetlock down, I'm hyper-focused. I feel like I know what I'm looking at. But when it comes to upper body or other kinds of things besides what to do to the feet, I don't know as much as I should. So I know that, you know, when we met at AAEP, we talked a little bit about the regenerative medicine devices, and I would love to talk a little bit about that today and just kind of dive into what they are and what they're used for, if you want to kind of touch on that to start.
Sure, absolutely. So, you know, a lot of people ask me what regenerative medicine is. The other word that gets thrown around a lot is orthobiologic, and they're pretty much the same thing. So a regenerative medicine is something that is taken from the horse's own body, typically from the horse's blood, and spun down or processed in a way and concentrated, and then put back into the horse, whether it's into a joint, into a tendon, ligament. But essentially, regenerative is essentially coming from the horse and then going back into the horse, unlike steroids or hyaluronic acid that is more of a pharmaceutical. And so we use these regenerative medicine devices in horses of all types, whether it's young horses that we don't want to put steroids in too early, could be horses that are maybe metabolic and have a higher risk of laminitis if they're given steroids. And, you know, the really cool thing about regenerative medicine is it's not only an anti-inflammatory, which is what steroids do, but it also has healing properties. So most regenerative medicine devices have platelets and something called IL-1RA, in which they help to provide healing and not just as an anti-inflammatory. So that makes it really, you know, a superior thing to reach for at times.
Yeah, and I would love to ask a little bit about that. But before I get into that, how does this sort of, I mean, I guess first, is this something that you use only on lame horses, or is there any kind of preventative properties to it? And how does this differ from maybe, you know, we talk about oral things that we feed for horses with arthritis or things like that, but, you know, how maybe not effective an oral supplement would be for those. How would it differ in how it works from something that you're doing as a feed through?
Sure. So, you know, using a regenerative medicine or any type of joint injection is going to be a lot more focused at that area, right, of pain. Unfortunately, the feed throughs, there's just not a lot of concentration that gets into the joint. There are a few good companies that have done research to see how much is actually getting into the joint, but we know that a lot of it is broken down in the stomach and through the body before it reaches the joint. So anytime we're going directly into a horse's joint or a tendon or ligament, we know that we can just get a much higher concentration. So that's what makes it different.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. And it's funny, I was just thinking about how, you know, I come to horses that I see for hoof care, and a lot of owners will put their horses on something as a preventative. I mean, a lot of times it's like, oh, I just toss my horse an MSM as a preventative or whatever. You know, they just think that they're trying to help a horse before issues start. Is that something where the regenerative medicine is done on just horses that are already presenting as lame? Or is it something you do before you see issues? Or, you know, I don't know if you can expand on that.
Yeah. And I will go back and say that, you know, I'm not against using nutraceuticals or any of those types of supplements. I think that they have a time and place, and I think they can be used in conjunction with potentially joint injections or, you know, in horses that need to heal from tendon lesions. All of the things need to work together, right? But as far as regenerative medicine, so, you know, we don't go around and just you know, inject a bunch of horses with these regenerative medicine. But it, typically it's horses that are showing signs of lameness or even just poor performance. So a lot of these horses, you know, they're flight animals. So they're stoic. They try to not show us that they're lame. And so when they do start to show signs of poor performance, which might be stopping at a jump, it might be, you know, having behavioral changes. It can be very subtle in these guys. It's at that point that the veterinarian, you know, definitely should be doing an exam on them and then making a decision if they are showing areas of pain, working them up with diagnostics, and then making a decision on the best way to treat them.
Yeah. And so what really caught my attention when you were talking about it is mentioning that there are some healing properties with it, because I know that a lot of people think of injections in general as something as you're just trying to give some, like you're mentioning, anti-inflammatory properties, helping the horse feel better. So how, I mean, I don't know if you can expand on how these work in that healing sense that you mentioned. And something that I probably should have asked earlier is this mostly for, I know you mentioned some soft tissue instances. Is it for soft tissue and bone and joint, or is it kind of for anything specific?
Yeah. And so there's a lot of different types of regenerative medicine, right? There is stem cells, there's amnion fluid, there's PRP, which is people are pretty familiar with because that's used in human medicine a lot. And then we actually, the company that I work for, we do ProStride. And so that is PRP plus IRAP, which is IRAP is kind of like the first generation regenerative medicine that was out there. So it provides, the platelets have the healing properties, right? That you're not going to get with traditional joint injections with steroid and potentially hyaluronic acid. And then the IRAP part of it is the anti-inflammatory properties. So what makes it unique is that it's not only an anti-inflammatory, but it's also has healing properties. And typically something like that is used in a joint, but it also can be used in a tendon during any type of injury or lesions. This often is injected into core lesions and help, you know, used to help heal. So it's pretty cool. It has a lot of different uses.
Yeah. And so I know that you mentioned there are a few different ones, and I've heard obviously like stem cells are sort of, you know, going to be building blocks for kind of repairing things. Is that sort of what's happening if you're injecting that, that has the healing potential?
No, you're right. You're spot on. So there's, you know, as a veterinarian, we have a lot of choices in front of us on what to use, right? And, you know, the goal, I think a lot of people think that the goal is to speed up the healing, but it's really, in cases of tendon lesions, the goal really is to get those fibers to heal in a more organized fashion. So it's not going to speed it up, but it is going to help it heal with less scar tissue, right? Wow. So that's the goal. And, you know, there's just different types of cases where you would use stem cells or, you know, PRP is often used in tendons because it has such high healing properties. But the overall goal at the end is essentially the same, like you said, is to provide, whether it's building blocks or platelets with growth factors, to provide better and more organized healing.
Yeah, that makes sense. And so I know you touched upon ProStride a bit, but what other sort of devices does Zoetis offer in terms of the regenerative medicine?
Yeah, so ProStride is what's mostly used. And then there's also something called Restigen, which is if you want to spin down PRP, it's kind of the first step of ProStride. Again, that's used more in tendons, although some people put it into joints, and the other way around. So ProStride, which is kind of like PRP plus IRAP, is usually put in joints, but also I've seen put into tendon lesions. And then there's one third one, it's called Centrate, and it is mesenchymal stem cells. So it's actually derived from your horse's bone marrow. It sounds awful, but they'll stick a needle up into the sternum, pull down bone marrow, and then they're able to concentrate these stem cells as well as platelets, growth factors, and other anti-inflammatory cytokines.
Okay. And I assume, is the horse sedated for that?
Very sedated.
Yes.
But still
panting.
Yes.
Yeah. I assume so. It didn't sound like it would be the easiest thing to do on an animal that doesn't quite understand what's going on.
Yes. Absolutely sedated, for sure.
Yeah.
So, and sedated really for most of these things, right? Even injecting tendons, injecting joints, these horses are going to be sedated.
So. And how, I mean, so obviously in the horse world, a lot of people are looking for sort of like instant, I know that you said healing takes time. It doesn't speed up healing. but a lot of people look for instant results. Is there something that you see pretty soon after in terms of increased comfort? Because there's that anti-inflammatory property too, or what should you see after these things are used?
Yeah. And so, you know, this is something I always talk to horse owners after I inject them. It does take a little bit more time. So, you know, one of the benefits of steroids is that you typically see results very quickly. Unfortunately, they don't last as long. When you're using something like regenerative medicine that has not only anti-inflammatory, but also healing properties, what we saw in, you know, our initial clinical studies was, you know, 2 weeks post-injection that these horses were, you know, doing much better on their lameness scale, and their lameness grade definitely improved. But what we found through, you know, years of this being on the market is that it really sometimes can take up to 4 weeks, 4 to 6 weeks to really see maximum effects. It can be a little bit frustrating for owners because we all want a quick fix, right? But we've also seen that, you know, injecting with something like ProStride can give you efficacy for up to a year, where steroids are going to have a shorter efficacy life. So there are benefits to being patient and waiting, even though it can be a little bit frustrating at times.
Yeah. And I will say, you know, as somebody who has horses that come to my farm for rehab, that it is very common, like you said, to have people that kind of want instant results. But if we compare it to like a human athlete, I don't think that anyone's expecting a human with an injury to jump right back in. I mean, 4 weeks, I think, is amazing to see an improvement. You know, my brother-in-law just broke his ankle and he can't even weight bear for longer than that. So, you know, I think that it's something, if we're looking at long-term performance and keeping our horses comfortable and sound, that, you know, 4 weeks is, I mean, however, I mean, even months is really a drop in the bucket when we look at our horses' careers. Or at least that's what I try to tell owners. It's, you know, you're kind of investing in their long-term career by giving them that time.
Absolutely. And of course, things like tendon lesions, you know, can sometimes take up to a year, but generally, you know, when we're using something like ProStride for joint injections, for osteoarthritis, yeah, you know, 4 to 6 weeks is what I usually tell owners to expect to see maximal effects at that point. So you're right, that's not that long. And, you know, in humans, they're starting to use a lot of PRP, right? You hear people getting injected with PRP a lot more often than we used to, right? It used to always be steroids. And I think the reason for that is they're also seeing, you know, the clinical benefits. It's healthier for the joint. It's healthier for their metabolic status. We're seeing them to be effective for a lot longer. And so for all of those reasons, not only in human medicine, but in equine medicine, we're reaching for these regenerative medicine devices.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And I mean, you kind of touched on a few different options that you were talking about. So what is sort of, I guess, the main difference? I mean, I know you talked a little bit about the differences between them, but what are, you know, the main differences between them, and when would you use each one, I guess? Like, what kind of instance?
Yeah, there's a lot of, you know, when we talk about medicine, we're practicing medicine, right? Mm-hmm. So there's no right or wrong place to use all of these different options. I think a lot has to do with veterinarians' comfort. A lot has to do with cost sometimes. Sometimes it has to do with convenience, right? So there are like amnion products and stem cells that are like off the shelf versus harvesting from the own horse, right? And collecting them and, you know, then putting it back into the horse. That can be more expensive, more time consuming. So there's a lot of different reasons why people are using different options or products that are out there. So it's really hard for me to say, you know, okay, for this tendon, it should be X, Y, and Z, right? Like, right. There's just so many different factors that go into the choices that we make. Sometimes it just has to do with what a veterinarian has had success with in the past, right? They're going to lean towards a certain device or a certain product at that point. So it's kind of hard to answer that question, I guess, yeah. Is what I'm saying.
Sorry. And honestly, I think that's probably just my lack of knowledge in general about them. So sorry about that. But I guess sort of a follow-up then is, when are these devices used in the sense of, is it like an acute injury? Can you use it on something that's more chronic, or what kind of in general? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So absolutely. So, you know, we think of osteoarthritis. That's the number one reason why horses become lame, right? And most osteoarthritis is from wear and tear, right? That's usually a chronic, not an acute situation. It's usually a chronic disease. And that is where, you know, we're seeing ProStride, which is the IRAP plus PRP, used most commonly in joints for osteoarthritis. In acute situations, such as tendon lesions, injury to a joint, it also can be used there, just with an understanding that, you know, time to heal might be longer, will definitely be longer if there's an acute lesion. You know, there might be need for repeat injections. There might be need for also using butte or shockwave therapy or other modalities that we have in conjunction. So a lot of it is just very independent on that horse's need at that time, but it can be used in both situations, both acute and chronic.
Okay, that's awesome. Yeah. Uh-huh. I always look for things to make my horses more comfortable and, you know,
yeah.
But yeah. And so obviously my job day to day is going to see different horses as their hoof care provider. Is there anything that I might see that I could maybe tell owners to ask their veterinarians about these? Is there like a farrier relevant application?
There's not necessarily a farrier relevant application, but I do want to emphasize just the importance of the relationship between horse owner, farrier, and veterinarian. I can't tell you how many times farriers have picked up on horses that are really hock sore because they don't want to, you know, hold their leg up for the farrier, right? Or will find them to be hoof sore somewhere that might be not necessarily coming from the hoof, right? Like it could be secondary to something, but I just want to emphasize that that relationship is so important, that we're communicating, you know, what we're seeing on the horse and what we're all feeling and dealing with, because as a team, we can all work together to use these different devices or applications and to help them heal.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's true. You know, I always say to my owners, you know, I run my hand down so many horse legs a day that there are times when I'm just like running my hand down. I'm like, oh my goodness, that there's something that feels different about this tendon or whatever, this area of the leg, that I say, you know what, you might want to have your vet come out and look at this, because the horse might not be actively lame, but this feels puffy, or it feels like there's a bump here or whatever. So it's funny that, you know, I would never claim to be a veterinarian or, you know, diagnose anything, but it is so, you know, nice to have veterinarians that are willing to kind of chat and collaborate and you know, join forces in that way.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, worst case scenario, we put an ultrasound on it and everything looks fine and it's normal and it's good, right?
Right.
And you go on with life. But most of the time when farriers speak up and say, hey, you know, this horse isn't standing comfortably for me, or I don't remember ever seeing this swelling, you know, this seems new to me. Typically, when they speak up, there typically is something going on. There's something to it. And so I really appreciate farriers that are communicating with the horse owner or communicating with me.
Yeah, absolutely. And so I know, you know, kind of back to the regenerative medicine, that Zoetis has put out a few press releases on new research around them. So I didn't know if you could provide maybe a quick overview of some of that research and the takeaways and how it might be beneficial for us to, you know more about them.
Sure. So, you know, Zoetis has invested a lot of money into research, especially around the regenerative medicine devices. And most of that research comes from questions that we get in the field, right? So a very common question is, you know, hey, this horse has been on butte for the last 5 days, right? It became lame. That put it on butte as a trial, right? The horse comes in. Now we've determined that it needs, you know, a joint injection, and we're going to use something like ProStride, right? So we're going to pull the horse's blood, who's had an NSAID or butte for the last, you know, 5 days. Is it safe to pull that horse's blood, spin it down, and re-inject it back into the joint? Or, you know, could butte have a false impact on the output of the ProStride, right? Could it have a bad output? And so that's one of the studies that we did recently. And we found that the output was the same, similar as horses that had not been on any type of anti-inflammatory. So that's good. Another study that was done was, I think we all thought that horses with PPID or Cushing's, you know, have a weakened immune system, and maybe the output or that end product or ProStride that we're spinning down doesn't have as many of these platelets or anti-inflammatory cytokines. And so that study was done, and it showed that horses with PPID or Cushing's can produce, you know, the same type of output when I say output, that's the final, what we're spinning. We're spinning the horse's blood down, and then we're getting a final, you know, concentrated anti-inflammatory cytokines and platelets. And I call that the output, right? So you start with 60 mLs and you end with about 3 in ProStride. So that output, or that 3 mLs, was similar to horses that had PPID compared to those that did not. So that was a very important study that was done. Zoetis is investing in so many different things right now. The other big one is there was a competitor product that came out that concentrated A2M. And we knew that there was A2M in our regenerative medicine device, obviously, because we're all starting with the same, you know, 60 mLs of horse's blood, right? So we looked at that to see if there was A2M. A2M is a good anti-inflammatory cytokine. And what we found was that there's actually almost 3 times the amount of A2M compared to another product that has recently been put on the market called Alpha-2EQ. And then actually there's this 30 mLs of platelet poor plasma that we've historically been throwing away. And what we discovered is that there's a lot of A2M and other anti-inflammatory cytokines within that 30 mLs that we've historically thrown away. And so the significance of that is, like I said before, the output is only 3 mLs. That's not a very high volume. So we're able to use that 30 mLs sometimes to help expand the, you know, amount of product that we have. A lot of veterinarians will use that to, you know, inject more joints or add more volume to a certain joint injection, especially stifles. And so that's been a very important study to us to see exactly what was in that final output, as well as that platelet poor plasma.
Yeah. And actually something that you mentioned a second ago got me thinking, and I know that you briefly touched upon this at the beginning of our conversation, but I work with a lot of metabolic horses, a lot of horses that have, you know, PPID or Cushing's, or, you know, they might have EMS. And something that I've always worried about with clients is that, you know, when they're getting a steroid injection, that can affect their insulin or give a negative reaction for those metabolic horses. And so I think you had mentioned at the beginning, that's not as much of a concern with these products, correct?
Sure. So there actually was another study that was done that was looking at the effects of triamcinolone compared to ProStride on their metabolic status. So it looked at cortisol, insulin, ACTH. And what they found that was that ProStride had no effect on their metabolic status, where triamcinolone definitely caused insulin dysregulation in these horses. And so that's a really important study for us to know, because that is where a lot of regenerative medicine devices are being used, right? And these horses that are high risk of laminitis, if they're metabolic in nature. I worked at Pony Finals for a number of years, and you just don't even pull steroids off your truck, right?
Yeah.
It's such high risk, especially the way we feed them. So that's where a lot of veterinarians get started using regenerative medicine devices. And then they will start using them in, you know, they see that they work, and then they'll start using them in other horses and different situations. So
awesome. Yeah. And that's something that I know for a fact, you know, my clients that are tuning in right now are probably going to be wondering about, because obviously, unfortunately, you have metabolic issues going hand in hand with horses that are struggling in other ways. And so those are the owners that are going to be kind of looking for ways to support their horse. And if there's something that's not going to exacerbate that, that is a huge plus. So yeah, thank you for letting me ask that.
That's a great place to use a regenerative medicine device. You know, the other place is young horses. We know that repeat use of steroids can be hard on the cartilage. And the goal is to prolong the lives of these horses, right? And prolong their performance in a lot of them that are performing. So using something like ProStride or regenerative medicine device is going to be much healthier for that joint, and in the long run, really be a better option.
Yeah, that sounds great. Awesome. Well, I mean, I guess, do you have any last minute, anything you wanted to touch on that I didn't address? Just, you know, something that you think is important for owners or farriers or even other vets to know about this?
No, I don't know. I can't think of anything off the top of my head. Do you have any personal questions around it?
I guess the only question that I have is, you know, my own horse, I got into hoof care because I had a horse that was diagnosed with navicular issues, and he ended up having DDFT tears and collateral ligament adhesion. So, you know, obviously it didn't heal properly before he got the diagnosis, and that ended up with adhesions to the ligaments. And something that we sometimes end up dealing with is if he, you know, is whatever, having a ton of fun. He's sound most of the time, but sometimes he ends up, I think, tweaking something and tearing one of those adhesions. And it's something that I just assume will be the rest of his life. And that's why I asked about, like, oh, maybe I'll talk to my vet about this. I don't know if that's something where it could apply, or if it's sort of like, well, he already has these adhesions. There's not really a place for this with those. I don't know if, I mean, he's retired. Yeah, he's happy.
I mean, there's a lot of factors there, right? And you know, it goes back to the point of why we use PRP or prostride in an acute injury is to try to avoid those lesions, right?
Yeah.
Try to get those fibers to form and back to having some elastic model around them. But, you know, around the adhesions, you've also got a bursa there, right? You have the navicular bone. You have a lot of other factors in there. So, you know, if that horse, it sounds like he's retired and he's doing okay, but if he was uncomfortable, it potentially could be an option for him, because the lesions might be causing it, but then it might be causing the bursa to become inflamed, right? So you could potentially quiet that bursa down and make him more comfortable. So it could be an option for him if he's uncomfortable.
Awesome. All right. Well, thank you so much. I mean, I feel like a lot of the horses that I see have that sort of like podotrochular navicular type diagnosis where there's something in the back half of the foot that's not happy. So anything that's sort of like something in the arsenal that could be suggested, or, you know, talk to your veterinarian about X, Y, and Z is really helpful. So I appreciate that.
Yeah, of course. I mean, a lot of people are putting ProStride into navicular bursas. It's very commonly used, as well as cough and joints. And I've seen it a lot with some deep digital, you know, tendon tears, especially at P3, it's being used. So it's definitely another tool in the toolbox that we have, right? Along with shoeing and rehab and all the other modalities, right? We have to use them all together.
Yeah, absolutely. Awesome. Well, I really appreciate it. I mean, gosh, thank you so much for being willing to talk about so many different topics and kind of handling all my questions from I'm coming from a little bit of an uneducated point.
I thought you did great. I thought you did awesome.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. Well, I really appreciate you giving your time and being willing to chat with me for a while. And I will definitely reach out and schedule something else with you. And I really appreciate that.
All right. Sounds great. All right. Have a great day.
Thanks. You too.
Okay. Thanks. Bye.
I always say that I'm slightly more hoof obsessed than the average person, and chances are, if you're listening to a hoof care podcast, you are too, so we should probably be friends. Feel free to find me on Facebook or email me at thehumblehoof@gmail.com.